I'm going to show you a couple of good mothers in the Bible and a couple of bad mothers in the Bible and out of the Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 1 is the first one I'd like for you to look at, please. 2 Timothy chapter number 1. And in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1, you have the Apostle Paul writing to the young preacher, Timothy, who has a lot of faith in God. And God is beginning to preach as a young man. And here's what he tells him. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 5. Here's a great young preacher, has two books in the Bible named after him. And Paul tells him this, "When I call to remembrance," verse 5, "the unfeigned faith that is in thee." Now, where did Timothy get this faith? Why did Timothy, as a young man, have such great faith in God, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice? And I am persuaded that in thee also. You know what Paul told Timothy? He didn't say, "Timothy, boy, I tell you what, you're a good preacher and your grandmother and mother's starting to believe." He said, "Nope. Grandmother had it first. And then mother got it from grandma. And then you got it from mother." He said, "You got your faith in God from your mother." What a blessing. What a blessing. History bears that out. Behind every good man. You want to show you the opposite? Let's throw back into the Old Testament to the book of 2 Chronicles. The book of 2 Chronicles. And let me show you one this morning that is the total opposite of this. 2 Chronicles chapter 22. I kind of got my concordance down and I went through the Bible a little bit. And I was going to make a study on all the mothers in the Bible, but there's just no way in the world you could get it all in one morning's message. So I thought I'd point out a couple to you. I wanted to just go through the Bible and study those mothers that were good and those mothers that were not good. 2 Chronicles 22 is the total opposite. There was a wicked king here who ruled over the nation of Israel. I believe it was there, Judah. And this king was wicked. A lot of people say, "Oh, that wicked king, how could he get so evil?" I'll tell you how he got that evil. Look at verse number 3. 2 Chronicles 22 and verse number 3. "He also walked in the ways of the house of Ahab, for his mother was his counselor to do wickedly." Isn't that something? His mother was his counselor to do wickedly. Here's one young man who preached and got people saved and kept them out of hell. And he got his faith from his mother. Here's another young man who was a wicked ruler over a nation, and he got his counsel from his mother. Did you know that Nero's mother was a murderer? Did you know that Moses' mother, a great man of God as he was one of the greatest women in the Bible, Moses' mother? Her name was Jochebed. And Jochebed, you could preach an entire series of messages just on the mother of Moses. You hear a lot of talk about Moses. People say, "Boy, wasn't Moses a great man?" Moses, the man who could throw down his rod and turn into a serpent by the power of God, part the Red Sea, do the great miracles, turn the water into blood, lead the children of Israel, the great leadership ability of Moses. But you know where that all started, where that all began, was way back one day when his mother, Jochebed, had faith in God. When Moses was a little baby, it was not popular to have a Hebrew baby. As a matter of fact, King Pharaoh had passed a law that all Hebrew babies would die. It's kind of like the day we're living in. The pressure is on for a mother to just abort her child and take its life. They're saying now that we're losing something like 40 million people a year by means of an abortion worldwide. Over 1.5 million, I think, in the United States. Just every few seconds. Jochebed knew that her baby would be in trouble. It was against the law in her day to have a Hebrew boy alive. Yet she had this little baby, And instead of just giving him to the government and saying, here, kill him, she protected that child with her faith. I can imagine, the Bible don't say this, but I can imagine Jochebed getting little Moses down and putting him in his crib and getting down at night and saying, dear God, would you please take care of my little boy? God, please, I'm not going to give him up. I'm not going to give him up. God, if it kills me, I'm willing to do whatever I need to do to save this child's life. God, give us some mothers in this day and time who are willing to even stake their life for their kids to save them from the wickedness that's out there in the world. You know what she done? When she could no longer hide him. See, the Bible said that when she saw little baby Moses, she saw that he was a goodly child. She saw him and her heart just broke. She said, oh, he's so sweet. I mean, he's less than 3 months old. That's nothing personal. I think every woman thinks their baby is the most beautiful baby who's ever come into this world. Don't you agree with that? I've gone to the hospital over and over and over. Look at him, preacher, isn't he cute? And it is wrong for me to lie. I just can't just tell somebody flat out lie. And I ain't never seen a pretty baby. Never. I mean, all the women think they're right. Mine was ugly. I mean, when they're little. I think they start getting cute when they turn the right color and their head is shaped right. And their eyes can look, you know, when their eyes look straight, I think they're cute then. I'm telling you, man, them little ones. Women think they're beautiful, but I think they look like some kind of a alien or something. They look like a chigger with a little hair on them. That's what they look like. And they just all wrinkled up. And they got their, I'm afraid you're going to drop them. They say, here, hold it. And they're like, they're liquid, man. They're like, they ain't got no bones in them. She held that little baby up and she said, oh, isn't it sweet? I just love him, little Moses, little Moses, little Moses. The devil ain't going to get you. The devil ain't going to get my little boy. No, the devil's not going to get him. I'm not going to let Pharaoh have him. So she takes him down, puts him in a little box. I don't know how big it is. Maybe about like this right here. And she puts him in there, little straw bed around him. She puts his bottle in there. She puts a little hose over there where he can just turn over there and get milk whenever he wants it. And she takes him down, puts him in the river among the bulrushes. And she puts him down there. Those were weeds, you know. It's like that one fellow said, boy, he reminds me of Moses, you know. Every time he opened his mouth, the bull rushes. It's weeds. Weeds, what it was. Stuck him down in there. And she said, now God, take care of my little boy. Take care of my little boy. And his sister was down there. She went back home. And you know what? God did take care of that boy. God did honor that mother's prayers. God did. Just as sure as you and I are here this morning, ladies and gentlemen, behind every good man, there is most of the time a good mother. Very rare. Very rare in history do you ever find a man that ever amounted anything for God or his country or anything who did not have the sternness of a godly mother. Now, I want to tell you something that scares me. We're raising a generation of young people who don't even know their mother. We're raising a generation of young people who don't even know who mother is. Many times mother, maybe because dad deserted them, had to go out and get a job. Or many times mother wasn't even concerned. I'm a lot worried about mothers who have a baby and don't even have to, and 2 weeks later throw their baby off on somebody else so they won't lose their job or their career. What a blessing it is for a mother who will say, my career is my child. This child is my career. I can do nothing greater than instill in them the values of the Bible and the Word of God and teach my kids to do right and raise a godly child. You ever read about John the Baptist? Elizabeth with his mother. And she prayed. Have you ever read about Samuel in the Bible? Hannah, his mother, was the great woman who stayed in the temple and prayed until God gave her a child. Have you ever heard of Susanna Wesley, who had 19 children? Back in those days, she prayed and her sons were used by God to save the nation of England from a bloody revolution. John and Charles Wesley, two of the greatest men in the history of the Christian church. Susanna Wesley had 19 children, and yet she spent 1 hour each with them a week with religious instruction. That just brings me to think about something. I'm not going to use an outline this morning. I'm just going to talk to you out of my heart. You know what I think one of the greatest things that you mothers, all you mothers standing up here, can do for your kids? You know what one of the things that stands out in my mind when I was little? It's not the food my mom cooked, and she cooked. She cooked every day. I remember when I was little, I used to love to get up real early when I was little. Early. I was the first one up. And I would sit on the counter like this and watch mom cook. You ever done that? And she'd have a pan there, you know, and cooking. And I loved it when she made candy or cake because I always got the bowl. We said, can I have the bowl? Me and my sisters would fight over who got the spoon and get into that bowl. The stuff that they didn't put in there to make the cake was better than what they made the cake out of, wasn't it? That stuff comes out of that bowl better than what the cake is after it's done, man. And boy, we'd put our fingers down in it, lick our fingers, you know, like that. I'm sure all of you did that when you was little. And you know what? One of the greatest things I remember when I was growing up is mom setting us on the chair around her and reading stories to us. Ladies don't have time to do that no more. You're so busy, I mean, you got an electric washer, an electric dryer, and a dishwasher, an air conditioner, and a car, but you don't have time to set your kids on your lap and read to them no more. Boy, I got her a conviction about that. So I got Corey yesterday. I was thinking about this. And I got her up and held her like this. And I said, now, honey, and I started reading to her. And I was reading to her some notes so she didn't understand much what I was reading. But I was reading to her and I thought, you know, you need to listen to this. I remember mom getting us all piling on her in the same chair, piling on her just like that, you know. Just laying, I know it's bound to be miserable for her. And she'd say, all right, now, it's not, we'd say, read just one more story. She'd write a big Bible story book or maybe just other little stories. And we'd say, just read one more. There's just something about hearing your mother's voice and laying close to her when you're a child that gives you a bond that is never severed by time or this world. I heard about that guy, one mother who was real busy, and every night she said, the kids wanted to tell her a story. Tell me a story, Mama. Tell me a story, Mama. She said, now listen, sometimes I'm busy. She said, now I'm gonna make you some stories and put them on a tape recorder. And she said, when you want to hear a story at night, you just turn in your room and mash the button and Mama will tell you a story on the tape. Well, I done pretty good there for two or three nights. Finally comes and said, Mama, I want you to come in here and tell me a story. She said, honey, I made you all the stories and I put them on a tape. You can hear them anytime you want to. But the kid didn't want that. The kid didn't want to listen to the story on tape. He said, Mama, I want somebody to tell me a story that I can snuggle up to. Mama, I want somebody to tell me the story that's warm, you know. Not like this old cold, hard tape player with corners on it when I try to lay my head on it. Listen, that's what mothers are short on in our day and time. Listen, more than they need nice clothes, they need mother hugging them at night and holding them. More than they need that extra finer house or that better car, they need mama who'll hold them and say, honey, one of these days you're going to grow up in this world and you're going to be faced with temptation. When that day comes, say no to the devil. God, give us some mothers who'll raise a bunch of kids like that now. John Newton was a man. He was a man who was called London's sailor preacher in the 1700s, early 1800s. He was used by God to turn thousands of people to Jesus. Among the many that John Newton touched was a man named Thomas Scott. Thomas Scott was cultural, educated, scholarly. He didn't think he needed God. But John Newton's life touched Thomas Scott's. Scott came to Jesus Christ and by tongue and pen influenced thousands more to get saved by the grace of God. Among the people that Thomas Scott touched was a man who was opposite from him. His name was Cowper. And he was too bad for God, too wicked, he thought. And he found out there was a fountain filled with blood. drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And he wrote that song. And every time that song, "There is a fountain filled with blood," has been sung, it goes back to this Cowper, who goes back to Thomas Scott, who goes back to John Newton, whose life influenced him for God. Cowper's life touched a man by the name of Wilberforce. He was a Christian statesman. He was a lay preacher. He touched the lives of thousands. His life touched another man by the name of Richmond. He was changed. He knew he was the daughter of a milkman in the adjoining house, or he knew the story of a daughter of a milkman of the adjoining house. He had a touch of the power of God. He wrote her story. It was translated into a bunch of languages and touched the lives of thousands. And it all goes back to a man named John Newton. And John Newton is making history still. But what a lot of people don't realize is that behind the man John Newton was an old, gray-haired, back-bent, stubby-fingered woman bending over the washing and ironing as she prayed for her boy John that God would use him. John Newton wrote a song you've heard. The name of it is "Amazing Grace." And they said every bit of it goes back to his mother bent over, washing and ironing and praying that God would touch her boy. Andrew Jackson, the military hero and 7th president of the United States, said, "The memory of my mother and her teachings are the only capital that I have to start life with. And on that capital, I have made my way." Some of you mothers got a late start in life. You didn't start living for God until your children were up this high. And many times that makes it very difficult. You lose them sometimes that way. Or maybe they go stray and then they come back to God. And sometimes that's a very, very frustrating thing. When you get saved and maybe your kids are on up, teenager or something like that, that makes it tough. But I tell you something, buddy, you start them out when they're that high. And you teach that Bible in them and you put that Word of God in them all their life. It's going to be mighty hard for them to get away from it. Mighty hard. I got a lot of things I can tell you this morning. Quickly, let me tell you this illustration. Walter Scott was a result of a good mother. John Quincy Adams was the result of a good mother. Andrew Jackson was the result of a good mother. Robert Moffat, the great man, was a mother's boy whose mother influenced him to be Africa's pioneer missionary and reach South Africans with the gospel. Abraham Lincoln said his mother made him everything he was. Too many mothers today have just given up. James Hudson Taylor, Charles Spurgeon, D.L. Moody, and on and on and on and on and on. James Hudson Taylor was the great missionary to China. He said, 30 years ago, when I was leaving for the shores of China, my mother came to see me off from Liverpool. Never will I forget that day, how she met me in the little cabin that was to be my home for 6 months. My mother's loving hand, she smoothed the little bed. She sat to my side and joined me in the last hymn we would sing together. He said, we knelt down and she prayed. It was the last mother's prayer I would hear before going to China. Then notice was given that we must separate. We said goodbye, never expecting to see each other on earth again. Let me tell you something, kids. All you kids here this morning, the best Mother's Day present you could give your mother is to be able to look her right in the eye and say, Mother, I know that I'm saved and I know that I'm going to meet you in heaven one of these days. We may never see each other again down here, but thanks be to God, I'll see you again over on the other side. Hallelujah. Buddy, I'll tell you what, that's what I'm taking my mom to eat today, or she'll go. And I got her a card, but you know what I can tell her today? I can tell her, Mom, I'll guarantee you one thing, and she worries about me all the time. And she said, Danny, you're going to have to watch it. You're going to have to slow down. She preaches to me all the time. She said, you go too much. You go too much. I say, Mom, I know it. You're never going, you got to slow down. You got to stop. I know it, Mom. I know that. I said, thank you, thank you, thank you. And you know what? I can look at her today and say, Mom, if I do get killed on one of these trips and I don't never see you again, I can promise you that everything's well with my soul. I'll meet you on the other side. I'll be there. I'll be there by the grace of God. You can't. You ought to be ashamed of yourself to go out here and live wicked and drink and party and all that and break your mother's heart after the way. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. You say, well, I don't like that. Well, you ought to be ashamed of yourself for treating your own mother like that. You brat. You're a brat, man. Your mother sacrificed and went down into the jaws of death to bring you into this world. She didn't abort you. She took you to church. She raised you right. And you're so sorry and low down, you go out and live like a devil and worry her to death at home. You say, she don't know it. She knows. Mother's got an instinct. They know how their kids. Your mother can look at you and tell when you ain't living right. She can look at you and tell when you ain't living right. I do a check on mine once in a while. Ask Carrie, I say, you doing right? Look me in the eye and say, I'm doing right. You can feel it, man. A mother can feel it when her kids ain't doing right. Said she went on shore giving me her blessing before he took off to China. I stood alone on the deck. As we passed through the gates, the separation really commenced. I'll never forget the cry of anguish that wrung from my mother's heart. It went through me like a knife. I never knew fully what it meant that God so loved the world that He gave His Son. And I know my precious mother learned that too. Winston Churchill, Douglas MacArthur, William McKinley, G. Campbell Morgan, Calvin Coolidge, on and on and on were they influenced by a godly mother. You ladies, let me tell you what the greatest thing you can do. And I envy you because women have more influence on the little kids than men do. The greatest thing you can do is influence your kids for Jesus Christ and raise them for Him. You say, preacher, my mother's sick. And I'm not able to even see her today. Maybe she's in the hospital or maybe she's in a rest home. Or maybe, I tell you what you can do. You can go to her and hug her. Just say, Mom, I love you. Don't be too proud. Don't be too stubborn to do that. And if you're here this morning, you're a mother, and you want to make up your mind that you're going to raise your kids for Jesus Christ, I'd advise you to come put them on the altar this morning and make up your mind to do that, okay? Let's stand with our heads bowed. Every head bowed. Every eye closed. I'll just talk to you for a few minutes. Behind every good man, it's a good woman. You've already come. We've already had one invitation. God's speaking to your heart today. Is He? Maybe there's a mother here and say, Brother Danny, I know I haven't been the mother that I need to be. There's been a lot happening in my life. Maybe you've just kind of got bitter at God and bitter at the Lord. But listen, you better watch that kind of attitude. God ain't done nothing wrong to you. God don't do nothing wrong to nobody. If it wasn't for Him, you'd be in hell right now. If you want to hate somebody, hate the devil. That's where the trouble comes from. Hate this old world. Maybe there's a mother here this morning. Just slip out of your seat. Say, preacher, I want to come down there and I'm going to dedicate my life to raising my kids for God. I can't do nothing any greater. Hey, you want your boys to grow up one day and do something for God? Amen. Just come on. This is an invitation. The sun's coming already. Come right now. God, I pray that You'd do something right now that'd be real in our hearts. We'll praise You and thank You for it in Jesus' name.